Do we have any Discordians in the audience? Hail Eris. All hail Discordia. There you go.
Do we have any sub-geniuses in the audience?
Frank Bob! Frank Bob! Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh.
Frank Bob. Uh-oh, I'm scared here.
This is the Bob that's on my wall in the studio. He watches over me while I do the show.
And he looks alarmingly like Mitt Romney. I'm sure people have been pointing that out here recently.
Nah, he's pure.
So I am Adam Gilrightly, and I'm going to start off by doing a little history of Discordianism. And where to start? Let's introduce the lady here.
Okay. Oops. I'm Reverend Susie the Floozy. And I'm an alcoholic.
Join the club.
Been in the meetings too, huh?
So I'm relatively new to Discordianism. I got interested in the subject through this fellow here, Kerry Thornley. Back in the early 90s, there was a book that came out called Conspiracies, Cover-Ups, and Crimes by a guy named Jonathan Vankin. And one of the people he covered in the book was Kerry Thornley, a very fascinating character. He claimed he'd been a victim of MKUltra mind control, that he'd been part of a Nazi breeding experiment, that he somehow associated with the Kennedy assassination. He was one of the Oswald doubles, if you're at all familiar with any of this stuff. And I learned later he was one of the co-founders of Discordianism. The guy who wrote that book, Vankin, promised to write a full book about Thornley at some point, so I just couldn't wait. I was intrigued by the character. I was involved in the zine movement back in the day, and you saw Thornley's articles in a lot of the like Fact Sheet 5 and a lot of those magazines. I never could quite figure out what he was writing about, but he intrigued me. Fascinating character. And so I started gathering material on Thornley, and I thought if I gathered enough background material, maybe I'd write that book. Vankin never wrote the book, so around 2000 or so, I started getting serious about doing this. And I was contacted one day at an email address, which is not my professional writing address. It's a personal email address that very few people knew about. And I got an email from a fellow named Bob Newport, informing me that Greg Hill, the one of the founders of Discordianism, had died, and this was in July of 2000. So it was weird. How did he know to contact me here? Once again, this was an email address I didn't share with anybody. I emailed Newport back asking him, well, that's interesting. Did you know Kerry Thornley as well? And he said, yeah, I knew both of them in high school. And actually, I'm the third founding member of the Discordian Society, so that was the Holy Trinity. And so I went down the path of writing this book. Let me back up a little bit before I get to these characters. Set up a meeting with Newport, and he also introduced me to Robert Anton Wilson and some other Discordians from back in the day, the founding members, Louise Lacey. We met at Bob Wilson's house, and I interviewed both Newport and Wilson there. And Newport brought with him the Discordian archives. I wasn't sure what they were, but Greg Hill, when he died, had passed these on. They were just an armful of stuff. Amazing material I'll share with you here. And I thought at some point, that'll make a great book, and I'll do a history of Discordianism. There was enough material to let me take them home, scan all this stuff. So I kept in contact with Newport. In 2009, I recontacted him saying, are you still good with me doing this Discordian archive project? And he gave me the thumbs up. And he said, well, why don't you come out to L.A. and I'll give you everything. And it turned out to be five boxes of amazing material, which contained among some of the stuff all of the original editions of the various Principia Discordias.
Wow.
And we'll talk about that. So here are the heroes of our story. Greg Hill on the left, These were their high school photos, and Kerry Thornley on the right. Of course, Greg Hill was, everybody know his Discordian name, Malaclipse the Younger.
Oh.
And Thornley was Omar Khayyam Ravenhurst, among other things. He is also known as the Bull Goose of Limbo, Ho Chi Zen, and Reverend Jesse Sun, among other things. And so these two fellows used to meet in a bowling alley, and that's where they had the revelation of Eris, which we'll read from in a moment. And I went down to Southern California, did a little research, and found Friendly Hills Bowl, which is still in existence. They called where they had the revelation of Eris the Brunswick Shrine, but I believe it's this bowling alley, Friendly Hills Bowl, which is still in existence. And it was right near a subdivision where Thornley lived in Friendly Hills, so I'm pretty sure this is the bowling alley where these fellows met. In the history, they say they, as teenagers, they liked to meet there and drink coffee and talk about why there was so much chaos in the world. And this, actually, the reason they met in the bowling alleys was they could get served beer there. And
wow.
There's the sign. There's a group in L.A. called Mod Com that is a preservation society, and they've saved the shrine of Discordianism.
Hallelujah.
Hail Eris, and this is in Whittier, California, home of Kerry Thornley and home to other famous piano players like Richard Nixon and Tom Waits. As you walk in the place, the first lane you see is 23. And here is the bar where a lot of the magic happened. So I am going to read from you from the Principia Discordia. This is the most popular or commonly known edition. Limponics put it out in the late 70s and early 80s. And for those of you who haven't heard it, this is the revelation. Two young Californians, known later as Omar Ravenhurst and Malaclipse the Younger, were indulging in their habit of sipping coffee at an all-night bowling alley and generally solving the world's problems. This particular evening, the main subject of discussion was discord, and they were complaining to each other of the personal confusion they felt in their respective lives. "Solve the problem of discord," said one, "and all other problems will vanish." "Indeed," said the other, "chaos and strife are the roots of all confusion." Suddenly, the place became devoid of light. Then an utter silence enveloped them, and a great stillness was felt. Then came a blinding flash of intense light, as though their very psyches had gone nova. Then vision returned. The two were dazed and neither moved nor spoke for several minutes. They looked around and saw that the bowlers were frozen like statues in a variety of comic positions, and that a bowling ball was steadfastly anchored to the floor only inches from the pins that it had been sent to scatter. The two looked at each other, totally unable to account for the phenomena. The condition was one of suspension, and one noticed that the clock had stopped. There walked into the room a chimpanzee, shaggy and gray about the muzzle, yet upright to his full 5 feet and poised with natural majesty. He carried a scroll and walked to the young men. "Gentlemen," he said, "why does Pickering's moon go about in reverse orbit? Gentlemen, there are nipples on your chests. Do you give milk? And what, pray tell, gentlemen, is to be done about Heisenberg's law?" He paused. Somebody had to put all this confusion here. And with that, he revealed his scroll. It was a diagram like a yin-yang with a pentagon on one side and an apple on the other, and then he exploded and the two lost consciousness. They awoke to the sound of pins clattering and found the bowlers engaged in their game and the waitresses busy with making coffee. Hail Eris. It was apparent that their experience had been private. They discussed their strange encounter and reconstructed from memory the chimpanzee's diagram. Over the next 5 days, they searched libraries to find the significance of it, but were disappointed to uncover only references to Taoism, the Korean flag, and technocracy. It was not until they traced the Greek writing on the apple that they discovered the ancient goddess known to the Greeks as Eris, and to the Romans as Discordia. This was on the fifth night, and when they slept that night, each had a vivid dream of a splendid woman whose eyes were as soft as feather and as deep as eternity itself, and whose body was the spectacular dance of atoms and universes. Pyrotechnics of pure energy formed her flowing hair, and the rainbows manifested and dissolved as she spoke in a warm and gentle voice.
I have come to tell you that you are free. Many ages ago, my consciousness left man that he might develop himself. I returned to find this development approaching completion, but hindered by fear and misunderstanding. You have built for yourselves psychic suits of armor and clad in them. Your vision is restricted. Your movements are clumsy and painful. Your skin is bruised and your spirit is broiled in the sun. I am chaos. I am the substance from which your artists and scientists build rhythms. I am the spirit with which your children and clowns laugh in happy anarchy. I am chaos. I am alive, and I tell you that you are free.
Well done.
Thank you.
During the next months, they studied philosophies and theologies and learned that Eris, or Discordia, was primarily feared by the ancients as being disruptive. Indeed, the very concept of chaos was still considered equivalent to strife and treated as a negative. No wonder things are all screwed up, they concluded. They have got it all backwards. They found that the principle of disorder was every much as significant as the principle of order. With this in mind, they studied the strange yin-yang during a meditation one afternoon, and a voice came to them.
It is called the sacred cow. I appoint you keepers of it. Therein you will find anything you like. Speak of me as discord to show contrast to the pentagon. Tell constricted mankind that there are no rules unless they choose to invent rules. Keep close to the words of Sayadasti. 'Tis an ill wind that blows no minds. And remember that there is no tyranny in the state of confusion. For further information, consult your pineal gland.
What is this? Mumbled one to the other. A religion based on the goddess of confusion? It is utter madness. And with those words, each looked at the other in absolute awe. Omar began to giggle. Mal began to laugh. Omar began jumping up and down. Mal was hooting and hollering to beat all hell. And amid squeals of mirth and with tears on their cheeks, each appointed the other to be high priest of their own madness. And together they declared themselves to be the Society of Discordia, for whatever that may turn out to be. Hail Eris.
Hail Eris.
So that's the sacred cow, sacred cow. Wilson called it the sacred cow with the pentagon on one side and the golden apple with Callisti written on the other. According to the legend, they had some big wedding with a bunch of Greek goddesses, and they didn't invite Eris because she was a troublemaker, so she snuck in and rolled this golden apple. Callisti, it's for the prettiest one, and all the goddesses fought over it, and that launched all the chaos in the world.
And it created the Trojan War.
Exactly. You are correct, ma'am.
They sure could fuck things up.
Maybe it was a good thing, though. So, I'll shift a little bit here. Cary Thornley, in high school, he was a Marine Corps reservist, and after graduated from high school, he elected to fulfill his active duty, and he went into the Marines, and it was there he met Lee Harvey Oswald. This is all in my book, The Prankster and the Conspiracy. And they became friends for a short period of time at El Toro Marine Base. Then Thornley went to Japan. On the boat trip over to Japan, he started working on this book, The Idle Warriors, and it was kind of based on the malaise of that period, being a cold warrior. And the main character called Johnny Shelbourne was based on a bunch of composite characters, including Oswald, Thornley. Over there in Japan, during that period, Oswald, that's when he defected to Russia. And when Thornley heard that, he goes, my God, that's going to become the main character of that book, The Idle Warrior. So he was writing a book about Oswald 3 years before the Kennedy assassination. This was later printed in 1991 by Ron Bonds of Illuminate Press, who was out of Atlanta here. Where do we go next? So, trying to remember... Okay, so after Thornley got out of the Marines, he and Greg Hill went to New Orleans, and they lived in the French Quarter, and that's where they published the first edition of the Principia Discordia, which you see the cover for here. Principia Discordia, or How the West Was Lost. Discordianism, according to Malaclips the Younger, being the official handbook of the Discordian Society and that beginning introduction to the Eresian Mysteries. Which is most interesting? Written under the inspiration by Malaclips the Younger, omnibenevolent polyfather of virginity and gold and high priest of the heretic fringe of the Protestant persuasion. This first edition, there was five copies, was printed on Jim Garrison's copying machine. If you know who Jim Garrison was, this is a synchronicity because he later reappears in the story.
Ooh.
It was done by Greg Hill's girlfriend at the time, Lane Kaplinger. And I came across this in the Discordian archives. Legend has it there was five copies. And as I was going through this, I wasn't sure what I had here, but then I saw on the bottom, this is copy one of five. I don't think the other copies are in existence anymore. They might be somewhere in the world, but I plan to make a facsimile. This is it's about 70 pages of material, and it's completely different than the Principia as you know it now. Let me go back. I had a couple notes to myself there. Around 65, when they published this, the Warren Commission had been formed, and since Thornley knew Oswald, he was a budding writer, he thought if he appeared before the Warren Commission, it would be good publicity to promote his book, The Idle Warriors, which he was working on. So he appeared before the Warren Commission, actually wrote the first, one of the very first books published on the Kennedy assassination called Oswald, which was from a pro-Warren Commission perspective. Shortly after Kerry changed his belief on the assassination, believed there was a conspiracy behind it. Thornley moved to Los Angeles, grew his hair long, dropped acid. He was editor for one of the first libertarian newsletters, The Innovator. He had his hands in a lot of stuff, and he basically became an anarchist libertarian, anarcho-libertarian, as they call him. And he was also involved in a mate-swapping group called Caristas. They were into psychedelics and all kinds of fun stuff. So that was in 67. Also in 67, Jim Garrison launched his investigation, which you probably know about from the movie JFK. Thornley doesn't really show up in that movie, but Thornley was subpoenaed in the case to appear before Garrison's grand jury.
I love the caption. Thornley expresses mild surprise.
And so what Garrison claimed, it was Thornley was a CIA agent involved in the assassination, that he was one of the Oswald doubles that were running around New Orleans and Dallas prior to the assassination pretending to be Oswald. Of course, at the time, Thornley denied all this craziness. Around the case went on for a couple of years. Tommy Lee Jones in the movie is Clay Shaw. He was the main target. He got acquitted, and the case basically lost steam. Garrison claimed that they'd been subverted by the CIA and other forces had basically undermined his case, and it fell apart. And so Garrison had a staff with a lot of people on it. One was this guy named Alan Chapman, who claimed that the Kennedy assassination was perpetrated by the Bavarian Illuminati. If you know the history of the Illuminati, they were somehow behind the assassination. Thornley heard about this, and he thought he'd screw with them all the more. At this time, he was interacting with Robert Anton Wilson, Robert Shea, and they basically started planning these stories about the Illuminati. This was in 67. I have an actual letter. It's not here where Thornley said, we're going to pull one of the greatest pranks ever and basically start this meme that the Illuminati was behind all the major political assassinations of the time. Wilson, you see on the left there, that's a note I found in the archives. He's talking to Thornley about the Illuminati. Wilson at the time was editor for the Playboy Advisor, and they basically put this out there that somebody, they made up both the answer and the question, that somebody asked, he'd heard rumors that the Illuminatis were behind all these assassinations, and then there's an answer to it. So this started a meme, and Wilson talked about it in Cosmic Trigger. All of a sudden, other people started picking up this Illuminati meme and started running with it, from folks on the religious right, the John Birch Society, to people on the left. All of a sudden, Illuminati was in the popular lexicon, and nowadays, if you look into conspiracy lore, it's all over the place. Bloodlines of the Illuminati. I'm not saying for sure that Wilson started it all, but or Thornley, but they played a great hand in it. Last time I talked to Bob Wilson, and there was rumors that he was some type of head of the Illuminati, and I asked him, Bob, are you the head of the Illuminati? And he said, no, I'm the toe, which kind of confused me. But anyway, I asked him, could you appoint me a high priest in the Bavarian Illuminati? And he did so. So you're looking at a high priest of the Illuminati. Also, my Discordian name is the wrong Reverend Houdini Kundalini of the Church of Unwavering Indifference. And so they started putting these advertisements out here, and you'll see that this is actually in the Principia Discordia, some funny stuff. I got to get up there to read it. Kevin can't even read it. Trust me, it's hysterical. You've probably seen that if you've seen the Principia Discordia. And they also came up with their own do-it-yourself conspiracy kit. And you'll see in some, like in Cosmic Trigger, and in here you'll see some of this, where they came up with the Bavarian Illuminati letterhead, the world's most successful and secret conspiracy, death to all fanatics, that type of stuff. They started screwing with people, and they'd send to the John Birch Society, yes, it's true, we are here, the Illuminati, and... And I found about 20 different letters. They'd Wilson sent stuff to Richard Nixon, on and on. And they had something called a Jake. It was a loose-knit bunch of people, you know, and they said, on certain date, May 23rd or whatever, let's bombard some senator or some religious figure with a bunch of crazy stuff. And that began what they called a Jake, some of the pranks that they did. So there's some of the letterhead. This is pretty wild. Bob Shea got involved in this. Of course, he and Wilson eventually published the Illuminatus trilogy, and a lot of this stuff they were coming up with during this period found its way into the Illuminatus. And this was an article Shea wrote, this called "The Most Sinister and Subversive Conspiracy in the World." Dun dun dun.
So a reference to the gemstone file or the jewels?
Could be. He wrote it under the name of Sandra Glass, who shortly after this article disappeared, you know, put this whole... And this was like in Teen Set magazine, which I guess was a teeny bopper magazine from the period. So these guys were... They came up with the structure of the Illuminati. They just float this stuff out here to see who would pick up on it. And they'd insert, like, the Discordian Society. You can see there's five spheres. Of course, in the Discordian Society, the number five is the holy number, coming out of the sacred cow, the Pentagon. Sphere of Discord, Malaclipse the Younger. Sphere of Confusion, Lord Omar. Sphere of Chaos, Mordecai the Fowl. Primus Illuminatus. Robert Anton Wilson was Mordecai the Fowl. It's interesting to note, you'll see on the left-hand corner it says Bank of America. Greg Hill, Malaclipse the Younger, later ended up working for Bank of America. Not during this period. I'm thinking this is like 68 or so. A lot of people to this day don't think Greg Hill existed. That's what's so weird about some of this Discordian stuff. Greg Hill ended up working for Bank of America for 23 years before he died in 2000. And he developed the first word processing software that Bank of America used. And another thing he did was come up with one of the first computer solitaire games. Interesting note about Greg Hill. They were into business cards. Greg Hill was into making all this stuff. You can see on the left, Ancient Illuminated Seers of Bavaria. That's the Joshua Norton chapter. Clever excuses invented. Spurious philosophies contrived. Priests insulted. Governments toppled. All kinds of outrages. On and on. Death to all fanatics. Here's on the right is an early Discordian Society card. You can see Southern California Cabal was Lord Omar Khayyam Ravenhurst, Carrie Thornley. He had the French Quarter Cabal was Roger Levin, also known as Fang the Unwashed. And then Gregory Hill. All these guys ended up being published authors and stuff. Roger Levin had a book called The Complete Motorcycle Nomad, which was pretty well known as one of the first books about traveling across the country and camping with your motorcycle and doing minor repairs and stuff on it. He also published some Christian science fiction. He also was pretty well known for publishing pornography in Los Angeles.
Let's hear it for pornography.
Hilarious. All that. On the bottom is the Pope card. A lot of folks are probably familiar with those. The bearer of this card is a genuine and authorized Pope, so please treat him right. Good forever. The more politically correct now doesn't say him, it's him or her or whatever. But
yeah.
I actually have a few Pope cards. These pass through Greg Hill's hands if anybody wants one before we're done here. Where are we at now? Have any insights while we're...
I noticed Mark Lane on the thing. Something that about him that I've never heard addressed is when Jonestown went down, he was there. What the hell?
He was, yeah.
He managed to, like, get in, run into the jungle and escape. I'm like, what the fuck was Mark Lane doing there in the middle of
A lot of people, some people think he's a spook intelligence dude. Mark Lane, if you don't know... He came out with one of the first books on the Kennedy assassination. Well-known Kennedy assassination researcher and attorney.
He did Rush to Judgment, popular mainstream press thing questioning the verdict of the Warren Commission, and he essentially created the JFK conspiracy field.
And he was also the attorney for People's Temple in Jonestown, and he was there when the shit went down, and he ran into the jump. Very curious, getting off into conspiracy realms. But there's a conspiracy researcher named Mae Brussel who believed that he was a spook and basically got involved in the JFK assassination community to bring in information and... kind of sanitize it. And so this is stuff Greg Hill would do. And the Discordians, they send up this little business card. It says military top conspiratorial illuminated seers. When you pull it out there, it says there is no enemy anywhere. And they'd send this to like a John Birch type to basically snap them out of their mindset. Somebody else, they might send a card that says, there is no friend anywhere. Just to kind of blow their minds and get them. So there are the two guys. That's the only photo I know of with Greg Hill and Carrie Thornley. Eventually, I'll get it in a book somewhere. And they would send out things called groovy packs. And groovy packs eventually kind of what led to the Principia Discordia. And it says there instructions. What they would do was send out newspaper clippings or little funny artifacts and whatever, and it was kind of like a art project, and send it out to a bunch of different Discordians. They'd add their two bits and pass it on to others, and a lot of that ended up in Principia Discordia. So it says, instructions, get zonked. 2, reach into the groovy kit and get a groovy. Groove on it. Do another until you stop. More instructions. Keep what you like, throw out what you don't, add your own, and etc., etc. And mail it to someone. Or don't. In the bottom there, upside down, it says, help keep the X in Christmas.
I'm sorry, sir, but I just have to say, this is too dogmatic. I can teach you
how to roll over. Nord's out.
Hell, Iris.
She created a robot dog?
Dogmatic?
Mm-hmm.
Here was Joshua Norton. Might be familiar with him. He was a kind of a pauper who dressed in regal attire in San Francisco and was considered royalty in San Francisco. He declared himself the Emperor of North America and
Protector of Mexico.
And he was he'd go into bars or restaurants and they'd feed him and they'd take his promissory notes. You can see a Norton promissory note. So the Discordians picked up on this and he became a religious icon. Emperor Norton, live like him. Endorsed by the Illuminati. So they came up with their own, you know, they were anarcho-libertarians, so they came up with their own monetary system called flax notes. And it came from some Zen koan about what's the meaning of life, and the answer was 40 tons of flax. And so they came up with their own flax notes. Here you can see, I can't read all of that, but it has some pretty funny stuff. On the upper right, there is one Carrie Thornley does. It says, Uji Blumenkraft. I never know how to say that. It means eternal flower power. It's in the Illuminatus. It says, Fifth International Illuminati Jew Communist Bank of Omar will pay to the bear, B-A-R-E, 1 ton of flax, good for 5 Zenarchies, 15 minutes of sex, or various other goods and services to be negotiated.
When Illuminatus, break into the jail to rescue George, they say that term and he thinks it is ear wicker, Blumenkraft, so we get
okay
or something. Never, something close to ear wicker.
Never sure quite how to say it. They claim, and in the Illuminatus and what's his name, Mayor Daley in Chicago, that's mm-hmm. what he was saying when he was shaking the fist at the crowd, eternal flower power now, which all has to do with the Kundalini energy and rising Cthulhu and doing all kinds of weird stuff. I can't. Another thing that comes up in the Illuminatus, they form these different cabals, and this was the John Dillinger Died for You Society. And you can see on the left, Malaclips the Younger, that's his card. On the right, I can read that. It says, credit, insert pistol barrel here, card. The John Dillinger Died for You Society. Present this credit card and on the end of a pistol and request that your purchase be charged. In most states, the charge will be armed robbery. So they started this all ended up in the Illuminatus, but you can see kind of the roots of where all this craziness started. Here's an application for membership in the Eresian Movement of the Discordian Society. Today's date, yesterday's date. Purpose of this application, membership in a Legion of Dynamic Discord, PUI, which was another branch, Bavarian Illuminati, all of the above, none of the above. Name, holy name, address. If temporary, also give an address from which mail can be forwarded. Description, born, yes, no. Eyes, 2, other, height.
Fluid ounces.
Last time you had a haircut, the reason. Race, horse, human. History, it's goes on, crazy stuff. And last, what's it say? Sneaky questions to establish personality traits. I would rather A... live in an outhouse, B, play in a rock group, C, eat caterpillars, I wear obscene tattoos because, and your self-portrait there.
I have ceased raping little children. Yes,
yes, no,
no, and the reason.
It, and they also came up with their own certificates of membership. Here you can see some of them. And they also, I didn't include some of it, they started excommunicating one another, too. There's Wilson and Shea from the Illuminatus period. And so here are some of the early editions. I showed you the cover of the first edition of the Principia Discordia. On the left is the second edition. The middle is the third, and then there's the fourth. And basically, by the time they had got to the fourth edition, that's what you see in the Lumponics edition. Greg Hill was a master of putting this together, Malaclips the Younger. And I have, we have...
Wow.
All the original paste-ups. This is how he constructed these books. You see them all in black and white, but he painstakingly took clippings from newspapers and other stuff and built the Principia Discordia. It was quite amazing work. What else do we have here? He was a master collagist. Here's one of his collages. Another one you'll see, that's from Principia Discordia. Also drew kind of strange stuff like this, the hodgepodge transformer.
Wow.
Make of it what you will. Here's some other famous Discordians, the early original folks. On the left is a guy named Camden Benares with his wife June. Camden was the author of Zen Without Zen Masters and Now in Zen. Books in Europe, he's still considered authority on Zen. In the Discordian Society, he was known as the Count of Fives. There's like a five hanging around his neck. And he and his wife, June, they dress up in the nun and a Roman Catholic cleric, and they'd like to go to Denny's and start making out and see what reactions they get. The diners. On the right is myself and Bob Newport, one of the original members, and that's with the Discordian Archives. We got together. That's at Bob Wilson's house. Actually had pizza with Bob, and you'll see some cigarettes. Went out on his deck and smoked cigarettes with him. On the bottom left is Greg Hill once again, getting a bit older. That's in the late 80s. And the bottom right is real good friend of mine, Louise Lacey. She lives out in Berkeley. She's the author of a book called Luniception. And her name in the Discordian Society was Lady L. Fab, F-A-B. And what that, she got that moniker, she knew Eldridge Cleaver, the Black Panther leader. They were good friends. And one time he called her a fucking anarchist bitch. So that's Lady L. Fab.
Fab.
Ah. Now we're coming to the bridge between Discordianism and
our worlds collide.
Subgenius. He sent this to, this was a Christmas card that Thornley sent to Ivan Stang. And it was published in one of the Subgenius books, and I of course blacked out of Carrie making love to a chair. Stang commented on this that Carrie had a love in his heart for all things, even chairs. During this period, Carrie was calling himself Reverend Jesse Sump, and I got to read this. This is one of the great letters he wrote during this period. It was to some preacher here in Atlanta who thought, you know, that AIDS was a punishment against gays for being gay.
Oh, he's still active and horrible.
Reverend Stanley?
Yeah.
This was 86. Dear Reverend Stanley, as one who has long insisted motor vehicles are God's punishment for political apathy, I was struck by the logic of your assertion that AIDS is God's penalty for homosexuality. Since the Bible explicitly forbids cigarette smoking, lung cancer is is divine retribution for that sin. Therefore, it follows that common colds are caused by invoking God's displeasure and living too far from the warm climate of the Holy Land.
I go for that.
Medical science will forever be in your debt for revealing that the true cause of poor health is going against God's manifest natural system of law and order. I need your help, though, in figuring out what's that say? Figuring
what sin some of the other...
You want to read that?
Okay. I need your help, though, in figuring out what sin some of the other diseases, such as muscular dystrophy, infantile paralysis, and bubonic plague, were intended to cure. I suggest you preach a sermon on this in the near future called God's Wonderful Biological Warfare Campaign Against Sin, which I will attend and take notes. For I am in exceptionally good health, and I wish to convince all my sick friends that if, like me, they were without sin, they could insult the suffering, less fortunate, and the smug self-assurance that you and I do without fear of being smitten by smallpox. Uh-huh.
Yours for casting that first infected stone, Reverend Reverend Jesse Sump, First Evangelical and Unrepentant Church of No Faith, Discordian. So that was Carrie Thornley in 86. Unfortunately, Carrie did contract a rare disease, and he died in the late 90s. This is Carrie in Little Five Points.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the mayor of Little Five Points, I was told, during that period. And
he was living in an apartment that was near adjoining Blastoff Video, and there wasn't a ceiling in Sam's video store. And one night I was hanging out in there laughing my loud braying laugh, and he told me to shush because the sound went right next door to Carrie.
he lived a few places. He probably washed dishes at every restaurant in the town. He lived behind Acapella Books for a period of time.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Blastoff was in the alley behind Acapella, and he was apparently, Carrie was living in the closet next to a tiny little place.
Amazing fellow. Since I wrote the book back in 2003, I'm still hearing stories of all these people he met whose lives he touched. He died in 98. Greg Hill died in 2000. Mm. Camden Benares died around that same period. Not many are around. Luis Lacy is still alive, and Bob Newport, the guy who handed on the Discordian archives. So, how much time do we have? That, in a nutshell, is a history of, I think, Discordianism. Your thoughts?
I don't have any. I've never seen the history of it. This is fascinating.
And I'm working on different book projects, so eventually this will come out. You know, it's always a long process pulling these things together.
And trying to weigh a difference between subgenius philosophy and Discordianism, I don't see any. We're cut from the same cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob likes a prophet.
True.
Don't we all?
Non-profit
religion.
Yes.
The idea of being able to create your own religion is something that people like us need, the non-believers, because with a conventional religion, there are times in your life when you need a certain amount of self-delusion just to get through the shit that you're facing. But I'm sure Discordianism is the same as the Church of the Subgenius, in that we don't believe you need to sell your ass to somebody else who's going to dictate your entire life just to get you through those parts where you need that delusion. You can pick it up when you need it and drop it when you don't.
Should be noted that Carrie's life got pretty chaotic with the Jim Garrison investigation, and there was a lot of, and he became for a period of time very paranoid. Some people have diagnosed that he was a schizophrenic. He believed he was a... There might be something to it. There's a lot of weird stuff that he was an MK-Ultra mind control victim. Of course, that goes on. That could definitely drive you crazy. At one time, he said he had second thoughts about picking Eris and wished he would have picked somebody like Venus instead. just because it brought so much chaos in his life.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. So as far as the presentation, that's all I got. If there's any questions or... Yes, sir.
We want to run the mic around.
Oh, excellent.
Do you have any plans on releasing the scans from your archive to the public? It seems like that could be a great benefit to a lot of people if you could just dump them on the internet somewhere.
They will come out eventually. I want to put them in a book form first, and some have got out on the internet over time. There's just so much of it. I want to put it together nice book format and tell the history and lay it out there. Once that gets out, then I'll be more willing to just throw them out on the internet.
Well, the whole time I read Illuminatus, I thought all of the things like the John Dillinger Died for You Society and the Playboy Advisor letter, this is the first I've heard that they were actual real plants.
Wilson talks about it a little bit in Cosmic Trigger, if you haven't read that.
That was my drinking days. Drinking and reading doesn't mix.
Do you think the hotel will complain if we start playing Sink in the fountain outside?
No problem, sir.
We can see if they do.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but Steve Jackson Games actually put out a newer edition of the Principia. It was probably a dozen years ago or so.
Yep.
More information, but a lot of the classic stuff.
Mm-hmm. I am familiar with that, yes. He also put out the Illuminati playing cards, which was a while ago, too. So, yeah, there's been... Greg Hill did his original stuff, which you saw here, then Lumponics in 79 or so came out with... first edition, which is a white cover, then this edition in the 80s, then Steve Jackson Games, whenever they put out theirs in the 90s, late 90s. Since then, a lot of other people have republished the Principia, and that was always the intent of the book. There was no copyright on this, that they wanted, Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley wanted the message of Eris to get out in the world. Bring disorder to our lives.
And this year at X Day, just for shits and giggles, I had like this really elaborate Evil Queen costume I found at a thrift store for $5. And I'd also found a bag of golden apples, plastic golden apples. And I'm like, what the hell? So I used to letter comic books. I got some Sharpies and I did different K's and various fonts. And went around with the apples at X Day at night when people were standing around at campsites drinking and socializing. I would come into the midst of them and smile and hold up the apple for all to see and say, a gift for the most slack, and throw it into their midst and shriek and run away.
Good icebreaker there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking it'd be cool. I was thinking as I was reading this earlier today, she kind of rolls the golden apple like she's bowling, you know, there's the bowling apple tie-in, so it'd be cool to get a bowling apple with a bowling apple, bowling ball with the Kalisti written on it. Yeah.
I think bowling alleys are very spiritual places.
Yeah.
I'm so glad the Friendly Hills Bowl was preserved. That's the sort of stuff that just thrills me.
A lot of history in bowling alleys, because a lot of them you'll see, there's one I used to live in Fresno, and they just tore down this old bowling alley where I grew up, but it was your old school. Just a lot of history in some of those old classic bowling alleys, not these new modern crazy ones with all the lights and everything.
Yeah, I tried to go to some cosmic bowling thing, and it was, this just sucks. It's for pinks. What the hell?
I know you're mainly speaking about history here, but who do you think some of the modern inheritors of this tradition might be?
There are a bunch, and I really can't keep track of them. If you get on the internet and do a search for Discordianism, there's all kinds of people doing Discordian stuff out there. There's a huge network on the internet. I think a portion of them really don't know the history. They just picked up on the Principia Discordia. There's a
who doesn't like a mind fuck?
That's true. A lot of the hacktivist communities are kind of involved in doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think what these guys are doing, it kind of set the stage for a bunch of stuff. Hill and Thornley were kind of doing the whole zine thing before the zine movement came in, so they really helped influence that. The networking and stuff that went on with the zine movement certainly influenced the internet, and you can see in popular culture there's always a lot of little hints about referring back to Discordianism and the Illuminatus trilogy, so it's kind of there, it's an undercurrent in popular culture. There was that movie 23 a few years ago, but a lot more subtle things than that going on. I think they definitely had Hill and Thornley had a great influence on popular culture. People just don't really know who they were.
Damn.
that was a little bit loud. How do you think, like, since Discordism came out, like, certain subculture traditions sort of exploded, like the Western occultism turned into like chaos magic and traditionalism sort of fell away and things like that? Do you think that's kind of like the proper context for that?
I don't know if it's the proper context, but it definitely had a influence on all that. Certainly Robert Anton Wilson, through his experience with the Discordian Society, started exploring alternate religions and chaos magic and made, you know, somebody like Aleister Crowley began talking about some of these figures more. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but once again, yeah, I think it definitely influenced chaos magic and a lot of that those movements. Somebody wants a genuine card.
Come up here. Well, we're supposed to go down there.
Thank you.
You're a pope.
Thank you.
You're a pope.
Sorry they're limited.
So pope you. Pope you. Pope yourself up. Too popey.
You're welcome. Thank you. I brought 23 exactly.
Don't, you can pope in your
the
pants
one.
Now.
Sorry.
No. What's your opinion of the Apocrypha?
Oh, the Discordia Apocrypha? Mm-hmm. I really haven't spent that. I browsed through it, but it didn't do much for me. Not to say that there isn't some valuable, funny stuff there. Yeah,
the parable of the guardians are really good.
Thanks.
Are we done?
Yep.
Okay, let's have a big round of applause for Adam Garadian's Reverend Susan Collision.
Thanks.
Want to know a secret?